from the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. We'll be reading the first six verses of this chapter in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1230, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. We'll read the verses responsively, and let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. The second verse is the text verse for the message. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word. The Bible is an awfully important thing to us, and how grateful we are to hold in our hands copies of thy word. Thank you for this place and how we hear regularly from a faithful preacher the preaching of thy word. For these things we're grateful. We pray for your presence and help now in the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak this morning on the subject of atheism of prayerlessness. I almost made this a Bible study on Wednesday night, but I felt like I ought to preach a sermon on prayer. And I'm going to talk to you this morning on the atheism of prayerlessness. I'm going to make prayer as down to earth as you've ever heard it in your life. The honest truth is, most of the people in this room don't pray, and I'm going to show you why you don't. I'll tell you why you don't. Because you have an atheist heart of unbelief. You don't really believe there's a God. You don't really believe that God hears your prayers. You don't believe that God is able to provide your needs. And so you just don't come to Him. But this morning I want you to listen very, very carefully. I'm going to speak on the subject, the atheism of prayer. My text is that amazing verse. You don't turn to it, but I want to read it to you. It doesn't even sound like the Bible, really. It's a little different terminology. For all the promises of God are in Him are yea. I like that. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. What does that mean? That means all God's promises are yea. They all give us something where we can get a yes answer from God. That's what it says. All God's promises are a way for God to say yea. And once God says yea and gives us what we pray for, then they're all amen. You see? We say, Lord, God says, here's something you have. We claim the promise. God says yea. And we say, amen. That's what it means here. All the promises of God are yea. And, of course, that makes us say amen. Oh, that's wonderful. And so, listen carefully now. I want you to follow me line upon line, precept upon precept for these moments. I've got a sermon that's an hour long. I'm going to speak about 30 minutes. I don't know where I'll finish. I'm going to stop whenever 12:45 gets here. And I'm going to speak about 30 minutes. I'll not near get through the sermon, but I want to talk to you about the atheism of prayerlessness. Father, bless the message of our hearts. Bless this preacher. And may this morning we find out anew and have faith to believe there's a God in heaven who can and will hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's unbelievable what goes on for prayer these days. Every once in a while I watch something in my room, some kind of a inauguration of a president, or maybe the coronation of a queen or a king, and they say, now a reverend or rabbi or father so-and-so will come for the invocation. And the guy comes up and opens a big old long sheet of paper and reads it. Just reads it. And I noticed when President, Nixon was, so to say, ordained, was inaugurated. Somebody read a prayer. And then everybody knows, when you come, some of us come to God, and you got to kneel a certain way. And you got to be a cross like this before you can get to God. And some people, you got to put something over your head. You got to cover yourself before you come to God. You got to look like that before God will hear you. And you got to go through a certain little ritual and chanting and protocol and so forth to get to God. But that's not prayer at all. Some folks, you got to use big words. Thou the omnipotent, omniscient, God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings and blah, 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 and so forth, and peanut butter and jelly, and so forth. And that, you got to sort of disfigure your face and change your voice to come to God. No, that isn't at all. Now listen carefully, because I am going to show you the atheism in prayerlessness and the simplicity of what prayer is all about. Now, hang or hinge on every word. It's an amazing thing. God made the sun and the moon and the stars. Then He made the lakes and the rivers and the oceans. And then He made the mountains and the hills and the deserts. And then He made the trees and the flowers and the grass. And then He made the fish and the beast and the fowl. And then He made man. Now, of all the creatures that God made, God gave man one privilege that He gave to no other creature. God said, I want to get to know you better. He said, I want you to talk to me. Now, God didn't do this for any other creature except man. He said, I want you to visit with me, and I want to visit with you. Now, isn't that simple? That's not holy, 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 holy. God said He won't talk to you. If I said, Dr. Evans, could I visit you for a while? You wouldn't say, holy house, holy house, holy house, holy house, holy house. Well, maybe you better do that. I like that a great deal. And no, you wouldn't say that. And God doesn't intend for you to say that. Oh, but you say, we come to an austere God. We come to a very personal God who made us and said, I want to chat with you. He said, like I said the other night, He said, I've been enjoying fellowship with Jesus all through eternity. I'd like to make a bunch of Jesuses so I could have more people to fellowship with the way I fellowship with the Lord, with Jesus. So, He said, now then, He said, you'll come to me and we'll have a chat together. Now, He said, if you want anything I've made, feel free to ask me and I'll give it to you. That's what He said. He said, now, God made the trees, God made the animals, God made the flowers, God made the lakes, God made the ocean, God made the river, God made the sea, and God made the flowers, and God made all the things of His creation. And then God said, let's have a talk. Let's chat with each other. Let's get to know each other better. And so God said, okay, while we're talking, if there's any of these things I've made, if you'll let me know. And He said, now I only have one real requirement, if you'll be close to me. God said, as long as you'll hang around me and fellowship with me and be close to me, no walking around now. We've had quite a bit of it, and we have time for it. Now everybody just sit still and listen. Look at me now. I've got something to tell you. I don't want you walking around. Now listen. God said, I want to give you this stuff. He said, oh, by the way, God said, the reason I made the birds were for you. And the reason I made the ocean was for you. The reason I made the plant life was for you. The reason I made the trees was for you. And God said, now look, I want to give you this stuff. And Lord, what have I got to do to get it? Okay, all you got to do is just hang around me and be close to me. He said, if you will fulfill the purpose which I made you, the fellowship with me, He said, you can have any of this stuff you want. Is that so unusual? Anything you want. What do I got to do? Hang around me and ask for it. That's all you got to do. So, the Lord said, if you see, I made you to give me some more like Jesus, and so I made all these things for you. So God says, now I'm God, and you're my creatures for a minute. Boy, that'll spread around town. You will have Hammond Town gets over that. Hyle says He's God. And but there'll be headlines tomorrow morning. Hyle says He's God. But I, for just a minute, I'll be God, and you're my people, and I made you. Well, I feel like a flop, such a flop in life, making creatures like you. I made you. Well, I say, look, I want you to feel free. I've made all these things. I've made the birds. I've made the beast. I've made the fowl there. I've made the fish of the sea. I've made all. If you want anything I've made, just ask me. But the only requirement is you've got to stay close to me. So he said, in case you want one of these Hereford cattle, let me know. You know, God never did create a can of potted meat. God didn't make Big Macs and cheese quarter pounders. They're good enough to where he could have. But God didn't. He didn't make Whoppers and he didn't make that. God said, look, I made all this stuff. Now he said, if you want anything I made, look at me, listen to me. I haven't got time for you to talk. Listen to me. Good night is 18 minutes before I got to quit preaching, and I got something I want you to get. So listen to what I'm saying. Listen. God said, I want to give you this stuff. I want you to have it. Now listen. If God said, if you want one of these cattle, okay. If you want one of these Hereford steers, ask me for it. God said, now if you want any of these birds, just ask me. He said, in case you want a turkey, just ask me. Well, Lord, what I got to do? All you got to do is just stay close to me. That's all you got to do. Look, folks, there's a God in heaven. And that God owns the whole universe. And that God says all things are yours. All you got to do is hang around him. That's all you got to do. Just abide in me, he said. If you abide in me, let my words abide in you. What does that mean? That means you hang around me, I hang around you. That means you chat with me. That means you draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. So, he said, in case you want any of these fish, just let me know. In case you want some fruit I made, let me know. In case you want some vegetables I made, let me know. You know what I believe? I believe you'd be surprised how much better you'd fish if you'd stay close to Jesus. Randy Erickson went hunting this week with Steve Sloan. What kind of hunting did you go? Deer hunting, is that it? How many deer did you get, Randy? They didn't get any deer at all. Oh, I think Steve flirted with one blonde, but I've forgotten. But anyway, an old deer. Now, I believe if they were spiritual, they'd get deer. Didn't God say all his promises are yea and amen? And didn't he say, did God make the deer or not? He did. Okay. Didn't God say, ask what ye will and it shall be given you? Didn't God say, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you? Down in the Florida Keys, I was preaching down there a year or two ago. And so I preached on Monday night and then early on Tuesday morning. Normally I preach about 10:30 on Tuesday morning. But that morning, 8:15. We got through. Fell in the church, owned a big, nice boat, and the pastor said he wants to take you, and Russell Anderson was preaching with me, and fishing. So we went out deep sea fishing. We're fishing for sailfish. And oh, my soul. We waited and waited and waited. A good crappie would look good on my hook. My bait was bigger than the crappie. And nothing happened. And Russell looked like he's about to cry. And I looked like I was about to cry. Just like Randy and Steve were this last week out hunting. And so, finally, Russell got one. He got a 68-inch sailfish. And then finally, I caught one, a 76-inch sailfish. And so, but you know what I'd done? I had prayed that Russell would catch one. I felt so sorry for him. I wanted him to catch a sailfish so bad. And I went back inside the cabin and got on my knees and prayed, Lord, help Russell to catch a fish. Now, I hadn't caught one, but I didn't mind not catching one. I wanted Russell to catch one. And I prayed, and he caught one. And so after we strung the fish up there and weighed him and measured him and took a picture, I said, Russ, I want to tell you something. I'm so glad you caught that fish. Of course, mine was 10 inches longer, but I said, I'm glad you caught that fish. And he said, well, thank you. Why? And I said, because I wanted you to catch one. I said, I went back and I prayed. And he said, you did? And I said, yes. He said, I did too. He said, I prayed that you'd catch a fish. Now he said, Brother Hiles, who has the most power in prayer? Oh, there's so many things God has for you. and all the law. Listen, prayer is not, something I put some ashes on your head. I didn't want to put ashes on your head and say, hasta la gusta la mañana, and bueno muchos dias, and all you polos, get your feet off the walls, no, that's not prayer. Prayer is not, holy, 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 oh, oh. That's not prayer. Prayer is a God in heaven who made the universe and made a creature he wanted to fellowship with. And he said, hey, fellowship with me. Hang around me. Love me. Talk to me. And ask me for any of the stuff you want. That's what he said. For example, if you, he said, if you want more water, let me know. I'll let it rain. He said, if you're tired of rain, let me know, and I'll stop the rain for you. He said, all you got to do is stay close to me. It's all you got to do now. It's fellowship with me. That's why I made you. And did you know? God said, if you get cold, tell me. I'll kill an animal and give you a coat. Did you know that God intended for every lady to wear a fur coat? Is that right, ladies? And that means that, well, I won't say that, but... God, that's what God said, in case you get cold, let me know. I'd be glad to kill one of these animals for you. I'll kill a bunch of these minks and sew them together for you if you want to. Or, I guess minks are little, never saw one. Or if you want a fox, I'll kill a bunch of foxes and make, just let me know. Now he said, if you want strawberries, I'll give you strawberries. And the Lord said, I also have made some metals you might like to have. And if you stay close to me now, you want some gold? Ask for it. Want some silver? Ask for it. Just ask me. I'll let you have it. Also, he said, now get this now. He said, if anything breaks on you, just let me know and I'll fix it for you. Divine healing. Oh, divine. Let me just, you get this handkerchief and put it on you and you get in the healing line here, and we'll roll over 14 times and shout 85 times and talk in 18 different tongues. That's not the way it is. God said, I made you nothing. This gets broken. Let me know, and I'll send a repairman out to fix it for you. And that's what healing is. Healing is not some God that doesn't want to do it, but you talk him into it. No, God said, look, I want you to stay close to me. Now, he said, you stay close to me. And abide in me, and let me talk to you. Let my word abide in you. He said, we'll make it okay. Who's Linda's children, Mary? I've forgotten his name all of a sudden. Jimbalaya. Jim and Linda came the other day, and they couldn't have children. Been married for quite a while. No hopes to have any children. And so, voila, out of all I got, which is in obedience to James chapter 5, put on the head, and I just said, now, Lord, I pray that you'd give life to Jim's seed, open Linda's womb, and I pray you'd give a baby to him. They say that they can't have children, but Lord, you made her, you can dead sure rearrange the situation. And they came by about a few weeks later and said, Brother Hiles, we found out we're going to have a baby. What'd God do? He just, well, when God gave you that body, he gave you guarantee. And he said, if it breaks within 70 years, bring it back and I'll fix it for you. You see, oh, it's so much more simple. I love to hear Dr. Rice. He used to preach on prayer. He said if Peter had prayed like most of us, he'd drown. Here he is. I can see Dr. Rice now, walking on the water. Here he is, walking on the water. And he begins to sink. And he prayed like we do. He said, dear omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of blub, 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 blub. What did Peter say? Huh? Peter said, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. That's what he had in mind. And the Lord saved him. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The Christian life is so much more simple than we make it. We want to put some kind of bathrobe on the preacher and put a big football helmet on his head and we want to bow down before him and it's not that. It's God said, hey, I want to talk to you. I like you an awful lot, God said. I love you. And he said, I sure do like to be around you. And if you'll just hang around me and be close to me and not run with the devil and his bunch, he said, just ask what you want and I'll give it to you. The Lord said, I also made some pretty stones. If you want one of those, be sure and let me know. All you got to do is stay close to me. He said, I got diamonds and pearls and emeralds and sapphire and rubies. Just let me know. By the way, he said, if you're not comfortable, I'll give you a thermostat called prayer, and you can change the weather if you'd like to change the weather. Remember that Sunday we had a giant day here, trying to have over 100,000, I think it was, and we had to have pretty weather. We were having outdoor services all over this area in football stadiums and out in parks and fields, and oh, on Saturday it rained, and the weather forecast was from Iowa all the way on other to other side of Ohio, rain. From up in Canada all the way down to southern Indiana, Kentucky, a solid cloud, they said. Going to just torrential rains all day long. And we prayed and prayed for God to give us a pretty day. And so, not a cloud in the sky. Not a cloud in the sky. And I thought, what a miracle. Didn't understand what a miracle was till that night. I turned on the news and then weather was on. And the weather forecaster said, folks, we've had a miracle. And I thought I knew that, but didn't know you knew it. He said, all the way from Kansas and Iowa, all the way to the other side of Ohio to West Virginia, and all the way from Canada down to Kentucky and southern Indiana and Tennessee, he said it's been one solid mass of cloud. But he said the miracle is right over the Hammond, South Chicago area. He said there's a hole there we can't account for. Not a drop of rain fell. He said it's a miracle. I'm glad the guy finally found out there's a God in heaven. And so God said, hey, I made all this stuff for you. Now, if it's too wet, then wise down. I've seen this so many times. Dr. Rice and I will go down and preach at the Bill Rice Ranch. And I've seen that old man stop the rain dozens of times down there. One night, I was preaching at Old Tabernacle. Didn't have any sides on it in those days. And a big old metal roof. Rain sounded, drowned out the preaching. So I stood to preach. And I said, open your Bibles, please! Nobody could hear me. And I started reading the scripture. For God so loved the world! And nobody could hear me. And old Dr. Rice got up in his chair. Walked out the edge of the tent. The tabernacle. Lifted up his hands and said, would you stop rain? Stop just like that. He stood at the edge of that all that sermon, that old man stood at the edge of that tabernacle. Didn't rain one drop. Stop. It rained all around that place. And then after I preached in perfect peace, and everybody heard. And then he walked back on the platform and said to me, I'll never forget it. He said, okay. He said, I preach next. You go out and take care of that business. Oh, I love that. I love that. I feel sorry for you folks that have to come to God like you come to the Queen of England for an audience. I feel so sorry for you folks that come to God like you have to go to the Pope for an audience. Thank God it's a million times easier to get through to God than to get through to the Pope. I mean, God said, look, he said, I made all this stuff. I made the flowers. I made the trees. I made the fish, I made the turkey, I made the chicken, I made the steer, I made the steak, I made the flowers. Now he said, I made you, and I love you, you're the apple of my eye. He said, now if there's anything you want, as long as you stay close to me, be sure and let me know, because all this is yours. Isn't it pitiful for us to live in poverty when God wants to give us riches? Isn't it pitiful for God for us to live ill when God wants us to be well? Isn't it pitiful to have all these things at our disposal, and yet we don't have them because we don't stay close to God? And God said, all that I ask is you be close to me, and that we be close to each other. And God said, when I see you coming, I'll run to meet you. Look, here's what he said. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto thee. That's not what God said. Not the way he said it. God said, when I see you coming, I'll run to meet you. What he's saying. He didn't, draw nigh unto me, and I'll go, and so you draw nigh unto God like a burglar in the dark, sneaking up, and God says, I'll do the same thing. No, God said to you, that's what that means, draw nigh to me. He says, when I see you coming, I'll run to meet you. Oh, it's such a sweeter laugh than we make it. It's such a simpler laugh than we make it. Now, the shocking thing is we don't take him up on it. Now, why don't we? Why don't we? Why is it that we, listen, if we are the apple of God's eye, and if God made all of this for us, and God says, you'll just hang around and I'll be close to me, and ask me, I'll let you have the stuff you want. I'll tell you why. We don't believe it. We don't believe that a feeble mortal cry could enter into the ears of the Lord God of heaven and earth. We don't believe we could stand, a mortal could stand on the gleaming pavements of heaven. We don't believe that the infinite God could be moved by the entreaties of sinful man. We don't believe that Him before whom the angels veiled their faces would so simply give us our needs. We don't believe that by prayer the armies of heaven could be called to arms. We don't believe that divine majesty obeys the orders of worms like us. We don't believe that powers of evil could be restrained by our entreaty. We don't believe the wheels of providence could alter their course because of our prayers. We don't believe that all because some feeble sinner saved by grace kneels before the throne of grace and prays that it'll change God's mind and God will give us what we ask for. But you check in your Bible and it still says, call upon me and I will answer thee and give thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. It still says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It still says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be given you. What this old Christian world needs is a group of Christian people to whom God is real and alive and loving and powerful and mighty and cares for His own and receives His own like a father receives his little child. Believe it. Believe it, O born-again atheist. Believe it, O saved infidel. Believe it, O forgiven skeptic. Believe it, O converted agnostic. Believe it, O combination of John the Baptist and Madeline Murray O'Hare. And everybody in this room has a touch of Madeline Murray O'Hare in you. You don't believe there's a God in heaven that can provide your needs. If you did, you would spend more time on your knees. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Oh, the limitless power at your own knee tips. Believe it when God says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Believe it when God says, in the day when they cry, I will answer. Believe it when God says, he shall call upon me, saith the Lord, and I will answer him. Believe it when God says, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. Believe it when the Lord says, ask and it shall be given you. Believe it, little widow. Believe it, weary breadwinner. Believe it, college student. Believe it, barren womb. Believe it, lonely orphan. Believe it, empty cupboard. Believe it. Believe that there is a God. Believe that He is believe in His majesty and glory. Believe that He is all powerful. Believe that He knows you. Believe that He loves you. Believe that He is rich. Believe that He wants to give to you. Believe that He will if you stay close to Him and ask Him. Prayer has divided seas. Prayer has rolled up raging rivers. Prayer has brought streams of water from flinty rock. Prayer has opened barren wounds. Prayer has given life to sterile seed. Prayer has quenched the flames of fire. Prayer has restrained the fury of lions. Prayer hath multiplied nullified the poison of serpents. Prayer has marshaled the stars of heaven to battle. Prayer has arrested the flight of the sun. Prayer has burst open the gates of iron. Prayer has summoned the dead from their tombs. Prayer has beckoned angels from their starry houses. Prayer has called back the dead to live again. Prayer has delivered from the raging seas. Moses prayed and the sea was divided. Joshua prayed and Achan was discovered. Hannah prayed and Samuel was born. Daniel prayed and lions were restrained. Elijah prayed and windows of heaven opened. And Paul prayed and prison doors swung open. The church prayed and Peter was delivered from prison. Jacob prayed and became a prince with God. Isaiah prayed and 185,000 Assyrians were slain at the hand of God. Asa prayed and victory came. The thief prayed and accompanied Jesus to paradise. I'm saying there needs to be a revival in the people of God that we serve a living God who is all powerful, but who also is all loving and who has at His fingertip every need you have and who made everything He made and created everything He created for you. All things are yours, the Bible says. All things are yours. All you've got to do is do the one thing that God made you for. you've got to fellowship with him. That's what the Lord said. He said, now, there are two people in this garden want your fellowship. He didn't put it in these words. But there are two people in this garden want your fellowship. Now, the devil wants it, and I want it. Now, he said, if you fellowship with the devil, you better put a lot of money in the bank. But fellowship with me, I'll take care of you. That's all he says. You folks that don't believe God answer prayer are the ones that don't hang around him much. I could take you to the place on Ann Arbor Street, Idaho Street, in the courthouse steps of East Texas town, 2007 North Franklin in Marshall, Texas, to a country parsonage, to a country church. I could take you to places all over this area here. Well, I've asked God for things, and I never do come and say, oh, God, 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 omnipotent God. No. I come and say, dear Father, I need something, and I love you. And you told me that I could have it, and I've come to get it. Please let me have it. People often ask me, well, how? When you talk in the pulpit, you talk just like you do if you talk out of the pulpit. Yeah, I know. Talking. You know, you hear preachers get up. And now, open your Bible. John Henry Moore. Now, if you were sitting at the table and said to your wife, pass the bacon. Pass the toast. Pass the gravy. She'd say, get it yourself. Yeah. So, I just reckon maybe we ought to simplify the truth of God. We like to doctor it up. Like to put our preachers in kimonos and so forth. We like to make the average church, formal church, their preacher is a idol that the people have made. They make their own God, and they look up, they figure that's what God looks like. Dr. Rice used to tell the story about a little girl. Said she drew a picture, and her mother said, what's that? And she said, it's a picture of God. And the mother said, oh, nobody knows what God looks like. She said, they will now. She came as close as these ritualistic preachers do. Closer. The God in the heart of that little girl is a lot nearer what God looks like than the Pope. I'm not being critical of anybody unless he makes the Christian life so complicated. You've got to take a 7-year course in college to understand it. Yeah. I saw Becky this week. She's 30 years old Friday. I saw her, Saturday. I saw her Friday. Oh, she's having a hard time turning 30. Remember, the 30th is the hardest. 40, no problem. 50, no problem. When I turn 60, no problem. Although when I laugh when I say, I'm not 60 yet, but... But 30 was a tough time. And I remember Becky. You know, I've said this so often. Linda was a better girl than Becky. I don't mean I love her more, but I mean she was easier to get along with. Becky had the colic when she was born, and she still had it on her honeymoon. And oh, my soul. Oh, my. How many hours have I walked the floor carrying that little old screaming baby for 3 months? We tried everything. I mean, we tried Similac and Bimilac and Fugilac, and we tried every kind of formula there was. We tried beer, and I almost would have used it if it had helped any. And Linda, first night she's home in the hospital, slept all night long. Never even woke up for a 2 o'clock feeding. But funny thing about it, even though Linda was the child that was less complicated, every dress Linda got, Becky got several. Because Becky knew how to work me. When Becky was home, not long ago. She said, Dad, and she was serious. She said, Dad, she said, you don't look 55. I didn't know what she was pointing to. And I said, well, honey, I don't feel it either. And she said, Dad, they kid you about your singing, don't they? And I said, yes, they do. Well, she said, don't let them kid you. She said, Dad, your voice is really improving. And I said, well, thank you. Thank you. She said, Dad, she said, you changed your hair style. Well, you wear your hair, haven't you? And I said, well, I rearranged it a little bit. I used to put one hair here and the other one over here, but now I got them both together. And she said, Dad, she said, you look like now you have more hair than you look like you had 15 years ago. And I said, well, thank you, Puddin. Thank you. And then it dawned on me what she was doing. And did you know, before it dawned on me, I bought her 3 dresses? Yeah. Did you know that our Heavenly Father is a lot like we are? And did you know God says, there's so many things I want you to have? He said, I made a whole world for you. And he said, I put pretty trees in the world, and I put pretty flowers. And I put Hereford steers, and I put turkeys and chicken, and I put fish in the ocean and in the rivers and the lakes. And he said, I put jewels down in the earth. And he said, I got some gold and silver. And he said, then I made you. And he said, if you just be my buddy, I'll let you have anything you want. Huh? Huh? That's what prayer is. And the reason you don't ask him, and the reason you don't keep on asking him, is you're an atheist. Your heart. What? Sing it. A friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Listen to his words. Sing it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry. That's it. That's your whole problem right there. Everything. That's it. That's the whole problem. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. There's a God up there. He's saying, there's a God up there. There's a God up there. There's a God up there. And he is all powerful. And he owns everything. And he made everything. And he made it for you. And he wants you to have it if you'll ask for it. And the only requirement is that you come and spend time with him. And fulfill the purpose for his creation of you. Father, bless the people.